Welcome to Grit, Grace, and Glitz. I'm your host, Erica Rothenberger, and I'm so excited for you to join me and my amazing guests every week as you learn how to get gritty, how to give yourself the grace that you deserve, and to celebrate all the glitz that comes to you along the way. Are you ready to unlock your potential? Let's do this. Well, hello, 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 everyone. I just want to welcome you to Grit, Grace, and Glitz. I am so excited to be here today. We have such an episode here for you. Remember, this is where we get gritty. We go after our goals and our dreams. It's where we make sure we remind ourselves to give the grace that we all need and deserve in our life. We're so hard on ourselves so much, but lastly, to make sure we're celebrating the glitz, the good things, the great things, the small triumphs, the huge monumental things that happen every single day in our life. And I just wanted to say that I have such a special guest here today. I have a woman here who you are just going to absolutely be blown away with. Camille Finian is, she's an author. She's a podcast coach. She's the CEO of Kitchen Remodel Rockstar and the host of Ugly Kitchen Challenge. For over 35 years, she has been a carpenter and she has helped over 10,000. Yes, 10,000. That's with four zeros. Create their kitchen design dreams. Like what the what? I wish she lived next door because I think I would invite her over tonight to help me get mine started. So with that being said, I want to welcome you to the show. I'm so excited. I know you are going to drop such magic on us today. Welcome to Grit, Grace, and Glitz.
Oh my God. I'm so excited to be here. I love your show. Your guests are amazing. I mean, it's just like one incredible woman after another. So I'm in very good company. So including yourself, you're very, you know, accomplished yourself. So pleased to be here.
Well, you know what? And I love it that both of us have a pair of construction boots. Both of us wear safety goggles. Both of us get the construction world. Let's face it is a male dominated world still, yet we are breaking ceilings. We are shattering them and we're making big things happen. And I just love what you're doing and how you're doing it. And, you know, with that being said, there's so many different definitions of success, right? And I'd love to hear for you what success actually means and what does it mean when you're successful at something? Like when you got this kitchen remodeling, maybe you could talk a little bit about like what it looks like before and what it looks like now and why you call it successful and where you want to take it. Cause I think it's so intriguing. I know so many people would love to hear what you're up to that way.
Yeah. So I'm a cabinet maker first. And so I learned how to do cabinetry and I started my business and really wanted to focus on the woman of the house. I noticed that men, right? This is a long time ago, barely talked to her, never asked her what she wanted and just basically gave her like a cookie cutter version of what they've been doing for a long time. And so when I started my company, I really wanted to put women first. So that sort of what created the company. And I did that for a very, very long time. And then 3 years ago, I retired from that when I turned 50 to basically bring my whole program online. So now I do the same thing for women all over the country. So I do virtual kitchen design through my program all over the country. And so for me, success in that, I mean, obviously I've had success personally as a business owner. I've had plenty of problems happen. Okay. Plenty of things that have happened in my business. I've had bankruptcy. I've had all kinds of things happen, but I've still made a lot of money. So I've been at both sides of that coin, super, super low to super, super high. And so for me, success, I would say means one, money in your bank account never hurts. So cash flow, cash flow, cash flow. So I am always pro cash flow. So, but what that really means is it gives you the freedom to help others. For me, so that's what success means to me, is that now, you know, I'm later in my life of building a business. I've been an entrepreneur since I was 16 years old. So I have really seen every possible combination of being a business owner. And in the construction industry, there's, you know, there's wild swings up and down with the economy, with lots of things. But for me, I've really focused on just a few things, which is cash flow. And that cash flow has enabled me to always help my employees. Now it helps me help my students that are in my program. So for me, success is helping the women in my program, so helping others. And the money also allows me to help even more women because now I make a bigger impact. So I have a fund where we give about $100,000 to women all over the country in the trades. And it gives me freedom and choices. So for me, that those are like, I know it's kind of blended together, but it's like a combination of, it's not just making money, but you do need to make money to actually help yourself, keep your own boat afloat. Once your own boat is stable, you can then start to help other people. So that's what success means to me. And that gives me freedom and it gives me a lot of choices to do that. So
I love it. I love
that's
it.
That's a long answer, but that's what success means.
No, I don't think it's a long answer. And I think it's so important because I think so often we're so scared to talk about cash and making money because we sound greedy as women, especially, right? Like in the man's world, like let's face it, it's not as like hush hush. And I feel like we sometimes as females aren't supposed to talk about it, but let's face it, cash is king. And at the end of the day, it's not about being greedy. It's not about buying the Louis Vuitton bag. If you want it, great. But at the end of the day, it's really about having the vehicle to be able to catapult your mission, your business, your serving, whatever that is. And let's face it, when you're in a state, we've all been there, right? Where finances have been really low and the penny pinching's going on. Absolutely. And it is, you're in a scarcity mindset. You're in a scarcity.
You can't figure out anybody else.
Exactly. And you were just trying to keep the oxygen mask on yourself. How are you supposed to help anyone else in that scenario? Yeah. So I really appreciate you not being afraid to talk about that and say, hey, listen, we as women can't be afraid to make that a priority. We can't be also afraid. I love that this is one of the first things we're talking about, to talk about it.
Yeah, and I talk about money all the time.
Especially us in a construction business, because like you said, it's very volatile. And when it's good, it is damn good. Yeah. But when it's tough, it's tough. And I'm sure you saw that like with like COVID. I'm sure during COVID, it was like having a virtual kitchen business. I mean, you probably were like King, you know, King Sheba, like, you know what I mean? Just like seeing or queen, I should say, you know, and all the things that were happening and going on.
No, I mean, that's sort of one of my missions is to make it more to get more women to realize that if they're financially independent, they get choices, and those choices means they can actually help more people. It's actually not even once you get to a certain amount of money and you're actually making good money and you've bought all the things, like at some point, it's really, it gives you the choice to actually help a lot more people. I mean, like a person who doesn't have any money can't help hardly anybody. They can, their little sphere of influence around them, right?
Right.
But truly,
and how are you going to invest more in your business? Like I'm sure there's certain times when you have additional cash flow, you can invest in a new software. You can invest in a new, you know, another employee that's going to help your customers more. Like you're better able to serve your audience, right?
Absolutely.
Maybe some of that's giving to charity. Maybe some of that's giving to a fund, but at the end of the day, you got to have, you know, the funds to be able to fuel your business.
It gives you choices. It gives you options.
I love it. Gives you choices. It totally does. And like you said, you can't be scared to talk about it. So, okay. So let me ask you a question. I mean, you are like, I love that we're both in the same type of industry. You're just such a badass in so many ways. If you could spend one day shadowing anyone in their business, in their life, whether it's personal, professional, who would it be and why would you choose them?
Oh, I love this question. Yeah, there's so many. I mean, honestly, there are so many incredible women and men out there, but I would probably say Beyonce. I mean, oh my God, from the day she gets up, I mean, she's just, like you said, she's just a baller. She's incredible. She blends femininity, being a woman, being creative, but also being bold, ambitious, aggressive in the things that she likes, like not being afraid to just go out and take the thing that she wants, right? And work really hard for that thing. A lot of the stuff she does takes years and years and years of planning. So I, you know, I'm very much like that. I planned to shut my business down 8 years before I ever did that. And then now it's been 3 years to make the online thing, right? So like I would probably shadow her, just learn even more stuff.
Yeah. And I just want to
work out with her and dance with her and travel with her on her huge yacht and like all of it. I love everything about her.
Yeah. If I could get up there and dance with her, put a ring on it.
Exactly.
I mean, she moves. And I'm not going to lie. While we were just talking, I looked her up. She is 40 years old. She was born in 1981.
It's unbelievable.
She's 5'6" and she's worth $500 million is her net worth. I mean, that's not a bad bank account to have, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, she can do a lot of servants that way, right? She can give back a lot.
Yeah.
And she is. She's just one of those women, like you see her with such grace and glitz.
Yeah.
Yet at the same minute, you see her so bold and
fierce,
fiery and fierce.
Yeah. I love the mix of like her, she's creative, but she's, you know, she's learned, she's grown into being a good businesswoman, right? She didn't grow up that way. And she really took a lot of risks, separating herself from her dad, finding new management, finding like really learning how to run the business herself. That was like a very bold choice. And very few people do that. It's so much easier just to keep paying people to do that stuff for you. So, I mean, as a young woman, she really took a lot of courageous risks when she was in the complete public eye. So I just value that. I value courage in any arena and bravery and really she's, you know, I obviously have a very creative job and I love that she's really, she's showing that you can be creative and make a lot of money. Like there's no such thing as a starving artist. Like I hate that conversation because there's no reason an artist can't be good with money or good with managing their business. Like those two things do not go together for me. So I love that she's proof of that. So
I totally agree. She is like, just like the epitome of like, and I, when you get a lunch date with her, if you can invite me, even if it's virtual, I'd love to be there. Just call me up, FaceTime me, whatever it is. I mean, she is like cream of the crop. I totally agree. She wouldn't have been the first person that came to mind, but now that I'm thinking of her, I'm like, she just went up to like one, two or three. Right. But so with that being said, I mean, you have, I love that you talked about the trials and tribulations, right? You're like, listen, there's been bankruptcy. There's been this, there's or close to bankruptcy, right? There's been, you know, the trials there. You're super successful. I mean, you look at your, you know, your accolades and your bio and you're like, okay, this woman has it all together, but there's also been fear and there's been doubt and there's been heartache and there's been pain. Like talk to us a little bit about those tough moments and what's gotten you through it. And is there a specific example that you have that like that fear that actually propelled you forward?
I have a very specific example, but I'm not sure if it's too much for this podcast. I'm not sure.
Bring it on. Okay. Come on. You've teed me up. I'm throwing the ball out there.
Okay. Got it. So why I actually became a carpenter, I'll make it as short of a story as I can, but this is like my first example of facing real fear. I'd say real fear that I had to push through, which was, so I was not always a carpenter. I actually went to business school, have two bachelors and an MBA and in marketing. And so I had a whole other career before I was a carpenter. And I had spent a lot of money and a lot of time on that and a lot of energy on that. And I was making good money and I had clients, but I was just literally burning the candle at both ends. I was an associate professor of marketing and master's degree classes. I mean, I was just like worked for the SBA. It was ridiculous what I was doing. Right. And this was a long time ago before people talked about depression and suicide like they do now. Nobody talked about it back then. So I didn't really realize that I was like going towards that. Like I was highly depressed and I did not recognize the signs in myself as a, you know, complete ambitious, like A-type personality. So I was just like burning through all of my serotonin until I, you know, just completely crashed one day. And so I will try to do this without crying because it still is very painful. It's been over 30 years, but one day I woke up, you know, I woke up and I just couldn't get out of bed. Like I just was it was done with all of it. I had tons of clients. I had students. I mean, I had so much responsibility and I didn't like any of it. Right. I like the marketing. I like my students, but I didn't want to go to work. Basically, it was my own company. I didn't want to go to work. And so I found myself on the floor of my bathroom with a gun and I almost blew my face off. Literally, I was like seconds away from suicide. That's how close I was. And the minute the coldness of that handgun touched my lips, the feeling of that, I can still feel it. And I just literally put it down and I ran to the phone and I called my mom sobbing. And I was just like, you need to come and get me. I mean, I'd been a grown up for a long time, like lived on my own for a long time. And she never heard anything like that from me. So I literally was like, you need to come and get me. I'm going to commit suicide if you don't come and get me right now. So I moved back in with my mother. I shut down my business. I sold my houses at cost. I got rid of my students. I quit my job. I shut down my company. I mean, I just like burned out, burrowed in literally.
Wow.
And just destroyed my life in the space of like a month and a half. everything
I worked. Did destroy it or did it open up for you? Yeah,
but I mean, I just had to like back out of everything. Yeah. All that responsibility, all those people that depended on me, and I'd worked so hard to get to that point. And school was always a struggle. Like, I mean, I worked hard to be a good student. And so it meant a lot that I had to give that up. But I just had to face the fact that clearly, like, it was not working. And so I spent a good year. I mean, I lived with my mom for a while. I was so depressed. I couldn't eat. Like, people had to take care of me. And that's when I learned about depression. I learned about suicide. Like, I learned about serotonin. I didn't know any of that stuff. And so I had to like work my way back from that. And I finally, eventually, about a year and a half later, realized that I wanted to go back to carpentry, which is what I'd grown up to doing with my dad. And like, I just wasn't doing anything physical in my life, right? I was in a suit all day. I was dressed up. I looked pretty. I looked great. I had great suits. I had coach bags, you know, fancy meetings with clients. And I wasn't physically doing anything any day that was tangible. So back to the question, like, what's the bravest thing I probably ever did was I just walked onto a job site one day. I was so sick of just not knowing what to do. And I just walked onto a random job site in the middle of summer, like 105 degree weather here, tiny, like I was 115 pounds in. I looked like very much like a baby face, even more than I do now, and just asked for a job. And I dug ditches and I got through that first day. And that was probably like the happiest I'd felt in like years. Like basically I just floated back to my car. I was like, something just happened. And I just broke down crying basically in my car. I was like, there's an indicator. There's something I've been missing. And so when I say carpentry saved my life, like it literally saved my life because I learned to push past that real fear of all those people looking at me and all these guys, like I didn't fit in at all. Didn't really know what I was doing. And, but I knew that something felt really right. And so that started that journey of me becoming, you know, a professional carpenter and starting my company and stuff. But for me, like that combination of, pushing past that fear and realizing that I can still use my brain, right? I can be really smart and intellectual and academic, but I need to do something physical every day. Like I need that for my mental health. And that tangible transformation of seeing something is really part of my personality.
About truly rebuilding. I mean, talk about carpentry, yes. Right? Putting together the blocks back together, the wood back together, the literally. House back together, the foundation, right? Yeah. Like your foundation had a break.
I had to build Camille back up, literally.
But Camille, that's so astounding. Like looking at you, I'd be like, that never could have been her. But I appreciate you being so bold and so honest and so authentic and how real the issue is. My sister is the director, national director of suicide prevention in Washington, D.C. And it's a very close and near and dear topic to us as children with family members. And it has hit me personally.
Yeah.
Many a times because of the family members. And it is a huge issue. It is it's one of the 10 top leading causes of death and the only one right now that's not declining. And I don't know if you heard, but just this past week, they finally, and you know that how there's 911, there's 988 now.
Yes, I did.
So people can call 988 and this is a great awareness.
They can text 988. Yeah.
Text 988. I'm sorry. And so I want everyone to know about this. Like, if you don't know about this, we should just all be aware of that. That is a service that's out there now to everyone, 988, to be able to help people to save a life, to prevent a life. And in the construction industry, suicide is rampant, especially between males, the ages of 18 and 40 in that industry. It's the highest in any other industry in the country.
Wow.
So if we're not talking about it, we're not creating awareness. And I so appreciate you being like, you know what? I was at the bottom of the bottom of the bottom then. And look how successful. I mean, you look at like your accolades now and you're like, that could never be, but we've all been there. We've all maybe not to the level that you were, but people have been there and they feel that there's nothing else to do beside that level of desperation. Right.
Your brain is telling you that. Yeah. Yes. And I also think that for me, like, I also would like look at people that were super successful and be like, I don't understand. How did that person do that? Now I absolutely understand like what your brain can like, if you remove all the chemicals your brain needs to think properly, like, you know, there's even such a thing as like the more ambitious you are, there's like this sort of subset of people in depression and suicide where, because you're so successful, you feel even less inclined to ever say anything because you have to admit that you don't have it all together, right?
Yeah. So you're putting that mirror in front of you and being like, yeah, these are like, I have all my stuff together.
High performing people are really at risk for suicide because they built all those walls that say you're so good at everything you're doing. And it's just like impossible to just reach over and go, actually, I'm not. So, you know, I recognize now high performing people that are really at risk, like, because there's no easy bridge to ask for help.
Right.
So, you know, thank God my mom
feels so bad about, you know, as someone who is a high performer, who's an overachiever or a recovering overachiever, right? Or perfectionist. Exactly. I know there's times where I'm like, oh, I can't let this person down. I can't let this team down.
I know.
Erica needs to show up even with the days that I don't want to.
Yes.
And we have to be willing to admit that and talk
about
it.
A little bit messy.
It does get messy.
I just don't have it together today. Like, I just need a little break. Like,
yep.
So I'm much more aware of that myself, of asking for that when I need something. So I'm much more, what's the word for it? Just
astute to it, maybe more cognizant.
Yeah, gentle with myself. And I'm much more less judgmental of other people. I can, you know, like, if someone gives me any indicator of something, you just don't know what's going on. Just give them some space.
Like, and that really goes to where that second part of my G of the podcast is, that grace. You know, I think you hit it the nail on the head. You know, we say give grace, but it's so true. And just the way you even were today, you're like, oh my goodness, you have so much going on. Do you still want to do this podcast? And I was like, you know what, how like honorable or gentle you were with just that conversation. Like, you were thinking about me versus, hey, listen, this is the time that we said we were going to do this. And I'm like, wow, that just says so much about you as a character.
Nothing is that important that you can't give someone a little space who, you never know, it could be the worst day of their life, the absolute worst day of their life. And they're like, they're at the pinnacle. Like, you just don't know, you know? So, because high performing people it's very hard to see through the cracks, right? Yeah. So that might be the only little indicator. So for me, I'm very much aware of that.
And I just had a recent, literally this past week, a dear friend who, you know, her husband lost his best friend, you know, and from the outside, I mean, this guy was handsome. He was successful. Yes. He was this, he was that, and he took his own life. You know, he's a beautiful daughter. You know what I mean? Like, it was like so sad. And it was like, you know, just trying to figure out the why and the how. And like, I think there was nowhere else to go. So thank you for creating awareness about that. You know, I just think it's so important. We're talking about it. So again, reminding people who are listening to this, get the awareness out about 988, get the awareness out that mental issues do exist and they're out there, because it's not a cut where we put an antibiotic on and put a Band-Aid on it. It's not easy to fix. We can't see what's going on in the brain, right? Yeah. And we think people are weak when they have a mental, you know, when they have depression or they have this, and it's not. Sometimes it's just that imbalance, and we need to be able to talk about it more and create that awareness so people aren't afraid to raise their hand and say, hey, I'm feeling this too. So I just so appreciate you being so honest in that regard. So where I want to kind of tie this up is, like, you know, we all have confrontation in our lives. There's always different things that are going on, and it can be hard. It can be hard to have those conversations. And you being a business owner, having people that work for you, working for people, having over 10,000 different customers. I mean, tell us a little bit about how you deal with confrontation, and tell us a little bit, because I know a lot of people are really intrigued with this kitchen business and probably are like, I need her on speed dial because I want to have a live session with her in the next 24 hours for my kitchen. How that works, especially in that industry.
Okay. So which one you want me to talk about? Confrontation first?
And maybe, like, talk about confrontation and maybe even maybe you can even bring up an example of maybe some confrontation that's happened, maybe with like a client that's in that business, right? Like that, you know what I mean? Like,
so not so much now, but yes, in the past. Now I haven't had any problems with the online stuff because I'm very upfront. And so I would say, so there's a couple things confrontation. One is, and this is from my things that I had to learn myself. One is, if you borrow money, this is one of the best advices that was ever given to me, because I borrowed money before from people when the business was not doing well. Right. And, one of my mentors told me, you know, if you borrow money, never avoid the person that you borrowed money from. Like, the first person you should call if you can't pay back your bill is that person, do the honorable thing, call them and say, I'm going to be late. This happened, whatever, like never avoid that person. So that's a type of confrontation that I learned. And it's sort of like, do the hardest thing first, like that conversation you want to, you're avoiding, that you're worried about with your employee, with a coworker, with a neighbor, or whatever the thing is, right? He taught me to basically do the hardest thing first. Don't keep avoiding it because it keeps getting worse. So write down what you want to say, write down what you can commit to that you know you can fulfill, and have the conversation. Do it with kindness.
And doesn't that go hand in hand in the morning? Like when you're making your to-do list, they always say, start with the hardest thing of the day.
Start with the hardest thing first, right? Whatever that is. And especially if you owe money or something you're really trying to avoid, something that's really hard for your business, you got to rip that band-aid off. You got to face it. You got to just deal with it and start the progress of like digging yourself out of the hole, right? Whatever that is. And so as far as confrontations with more interpersonal or with, so if it's friends or family or colleagues, my advice is always to sleep on it, to not do the first reactive thing. And sometimes if I'm really hurt, I'm a Cancer. So I'm more deeply feeling than most people. So I recognize that sometimes I feel things way deeper and I take them way too personal. So I will, therapist gave me an exercise where I just write down how I'm feeling. And then I can look at that. And then I can actually sort of filter a little bit and go, okay, maybe pick one thing and kind of approach the conversation from that sort of honest position, but sort of being a little bit vulnerable, but not too much, but then asking for what I need, asking for what's going to solve the problem. If it's business stuff, more like client stuff, especially with kitchens, because kitchens can get really out of hand, right? They get really out of hand because there's so many
really things. Expensive,
really expensive, and a lot of miscommunication. So for that specifically, it's always a lot of communication up front. So expectations. Most people that run a business that where you're really serving somebody, they don't teach the customer the expectations of what's reasonable for the job, whatever that is. They don't actually help the customer understand what the boundaries are. So I had pretty good success because I did a lot of that very upfront in the first sales call, the pitch, when I was trying to get the job, I was basically teaching the customer how I work, what's going to work with me, and what they can expect from me. And then what they can expect if something starts to not work in their favor, how they can communicate with me. So 90% of the time that solved most of the problems. And then if it actually became like a really difficult thing, like they just were really unhappy with me, which if you've done that many kitchens, at some point, you're going to disappoint somebody, right? In some way, even if it's unreasonable on their part, they feel disappointed. It's just to validate their feelings and suggest what's going to fix it and do it. Whether that's a refund or this or that, you just do it quickly. You don't ignore the problem. That's my advice.
I love it. Don't ignore the problem. Go after it. Tackle the hard things. Talk about the confrontation. I think it's so true. And I think one of the best pieces of advice, and I try to do this sometimes, and I'm not always good at it because sometimes I, as an Aries, I'm overzealous and I'm like, I got to get this solved right now, right here at this moment. When you sleep on it or you want to write that email, write the email, but don't press send, right? Yeah. When you want to confront an employee, like you said, or a colleague or a customer that's irate or mad at you, take the deep breath, go outside, take the 20-minute walk.
Take a walk.
You know what I mean? Whatever it is. And then you're usually going to come back to it and be like, whoa, okay, maybe I was a little out of whack. And I know I sometimes do that even in my own marriage. Like I'll go to bed mad sometimes and I wake up the next day and I'm like, was I really mad about the dishwasher? Or was there another issue?
By this thing? Or
was it something deeper that I wasn't able to articulate? And if I had articulated at that time, it would have made it about the dishwasher not being empty. But I was really hurt that you didn't call and ask
how 2 days ago was, or something.
Right? And just taking that time to process. And we are in such a state of overdrive right now in society more than ever that I think we feel like we need to be in this overprocessing state. And sometimes taking 3 steps back will actually take you 6 steps forward, especially with those hard conversations.
I absolutely do that. But so for me, like I would do a lot of text, not a ton of text, but if someone texted something or emailed it, I would often just print it out or just sort of think about it for 24 hours. And then I might write out my response of like, okay, 2 of those things I agree with, but these 3 we're going to have to talk about, like some mechanism that separates how that initial reaction, because nobody likes to be, I mean, if you're in any sort of creative business, someone says they don't like what you did, or you disappointed somebody in some way, like there's no way as a human, you're not going to feel hurt or upset by someone saying you didn't do a good job. So you're going to feel that way. And you got to wait long enough for that to resolve a little bit, so you can be a little bit more clear headed. So it doesn't keep escalating, basically.
Love it. Love it. And it's so true. And the other thing that I would give people advice on is when you can have those hard conversations face to face, whether that's on Zoom or that's person to person or belly to belly, because let's face it, like, something can be so mistaken with an email or with a text.
Oh, absolutely.
And yeah, trying to resolve conflict that way, people read between the lines and they will read your message 180 degrees differently than you intended to write it.
I am so glad you said that, because I kind of maybe gave the wrong impression. It's true. I would get those in, but I don't respond that way. I would always maybe write it down or type up an email, but not send it. But then I'd pick up the phone and I'd be able to look at my email and have that conversation with them. You're right. I would never text back, ever.
Right.
Never. It'll 100% be misinterpreted. So I'd either go to the job site or schedule a time, or just call them and say, hey, I got your stuff. I really want to talk about it. I understand you're mad or this or that. You know, I agree with these two things, but let's talk about this third thing. Or if they're still escalating, say, okay, you know what? I'm just going to drive over there tomorrow. Let's talk about it. So absolutely. I absolutely agree. I would never do this stuff virtually or in that way.
Yeah. And that's not what I was even insinuated that. However, I'm just reminding people on that because it's so easy. I've been guilty of just.
And it just gets worse, right?
And then I send it. I'm like, oh, I can't take it back. And once it's in writing, it's in writing. Like, that was one of the first things my boss.
I've also made that mistake myself. So yes.
When it's in writing, it's in writing. And it can save your ass or it can really hurt your ass.
Absolutely.
You got to decide when to send it. Well, with that being said, listen, I could talk to you all day, all night. I could make this happen. I think you are just absolutely incredible. I am so glad that we got to connect. I'm so glad that we got to talk about what we're doing and what we're up to and the struggles and the tribulations and everything from the darkest times to the best times to wearing construction hats to being fierce and fearless women who are out there doing big and bold ass things. And I'm just so excited to continue to create a relationship with you, for people to learn about your business, all of her contact information, where you can find her, how you can redo your kitchen with her. It will all be in the show notes. You are just a force. Is there anything you want to leave us with before we sign off from Grit, Grace, and Glitz?
No, I think that was, I mean, we've covered a lot, and I love your show and I love what you're doing to bring more grit back for women. Like, I think it's a lost skill maybe, or art. And I, you know, the women that have it, I think it's a really good asset to have a lot of grit as a woman. Like, it'll carry you far. So I love what you're doing.
Let's go. Anyways, with that being said, thank you so much for joining Grit, Grace, and Glitz today. Thank you guys for joining. Tag into someone else. Message this podcast to someone else that just really needs to listen, who needs to go out there and be a little bit grittier, to give themselves the grace to go out and celebrate the glitz and the phenomenal things that are going on in their lives every single day. With that being said, here from Grit, Grace, and Glitz, so excited to have you today. Thank you for joining us. Go out, bless, go serve, and go be big, bad, and bold, badass out there. Take care. I hope you learned a lot from today's episode, and I cannot wait for you to catch our next episode. I'll see you back here next time on an all new episode of Grit, Grace, and Glitz.